step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Plus, Superbook Sports invites you to a special UFC post-match party with Dustin Jacoby after the fights on Saturday night. It's at Landshark Bar at Margaritaville on South Broadway. Follow Superbook Sports on social media for more information. So we are officially at the one-week mark in training camp. Titans took the practice field for the first time last Wednesday. Off today, back on the practice field tomorrow, and we will be back at training camp on Friday. And even though we're only a week away, or we're only a week in to training camp, I mean, it's going quick. I mean, that first preseason game against the Bears is in just over a week. And then you go to Minnesota for practice. I mean, it's quick.
Yeah. It's right around the corner.
It is right around
Hall
the
of Fame
corner.
Game is this weekend, right?
It's tomorrow.
Tomorrow,
Hall
yes.
Hall of Fame game is tomorrow. So, I mean, as long as training camp might feel, it really blink and you're going to miss it.
Yeah.
But we've said we're not going to make any rash overreactions, specifically to the backup quarterback battle between Will Levis and Malik Willis, but it's really an overarching thought throughout training camp. You don't make rash decisions on one day of practice. You don't overreact good or bad to any individual player position groups. But like we mentioned yesterday, you can start to pick up on breadcrumbs. You start to pick up on trends, practice over practice over practice. So now that we are 1 week in, D-Mace and I have a list of some things that we like and a list of some things that we might not like so much, some question marks that we still might have. So do we want to start on the good stuff or the not so good stuff?
Let's start on the good stuff.
The good stuff. Okay, yes. Do you want to kick us off?
Yes. Okay. Let's go straight to, you know, what has been the story all off season pretty much. At least for the last 2 or 3 weeks. D-Hop in the receiving core. This was a huge concern for, is it safe to say everybody, every Titan fan? This position was a concern because
concern is an understatement.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So it's safe to say it was one of those adjectives that's not good. Like people were worried, anxious, you know, whatever you want to say. They go and get D-Hop, and it just seems like the receiving core is looking a little bit better than what we first initially thought. Even adding D-Hop, it looks even better than that because we are seeing Chris Moore. We're starting to see what he looks like. We only kind of sort of pictured, you know, him in Houston and what he did briefly. Now we see him and what he's able to do. We see Treylon Burks. We see the physical manifestation sort of that he has had, you know, prior, you know, it's totally different from what he was last year. We see that and he looks better. We see a Kyle Phillips. He looks a little bit better. Racy McMath. It seems like it seems like okay. They got some here. We don't know what it is.
Good things
exactly.
From Racy McMath.
There's some
Jared
other guys.
Jared said yesterday he doesn't think Racy McMath is going to make the 53 man roster.
He's going to make the 53 man roster.
And he's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs for saying
absolutely.
That.
I don't know what you're smoking, brother. but we're starting to see this receiving core not to be not to be the Achilles heel that we thought it was going to be prior to D-Hop coming. It seems like that piece of the puzzle kind of helped everybody. Everybody seemed to be playing or practicing with a little bit more confidence. So that's one of the things that I like at this point in camp. It's early, but I like the way the receiving core has looked.
And that's what I had on my list of things that I've liked, even more specifically, is Treylon Burks. Mm-hmm. I am sipping the Treylon Burks Kool-Aid. I am overdosing on the Treylon Burks Kool-Aid. And I think it started with OTAs. Mm-hmm. Taking the Cessna plane to make sure that he got to OTAs on time. The way that he looked when he got to camp. Mm-hmm. The way that when he sat down with us last week in a great and very, you know, open sit down that we had with him, he really owned up to some of the things that he struggled with this past, his first year, his rookie year, last year. He said, look, I showed up out of shape. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what to expect. I was so focused on the combine that I really wasn't in training camp shape. I just didn't know what was going to be asked of me as an NFL wide receiver. And he said, now I feel so much more confident. I'm in shape. I stayed in Nashville. I trained with our trainers. I was on a workout plan. I was focused. I didn't go out of town. It felt like to me, I've seen it with my own eyes looking at him out there in practice, and I've heard it from him, that he just gets it. He knows what's expected of him now. He's in football shape. He's building that rapport with Ryan Tannehill. And he's starting this season leaps and bounds further ahead than he was this past season. So Treylon Burks was really the highlight of the receiving core that I really liked, but it really is the receiving core as a whole. Mm-hmm. I feel so much better about it with the addition of D-Hop and with Treylon Burks just looking so much better and having a so much clearer vision of what's expected of him this season.
Exactly. The second thing, for me, it's that front seven. I think Arden Key is really – I think we will really get an opportunity to see him in his true element, meaning him being a three-down player. Obviously, last year in Jacksonville, they were rotating a lot. Mm-hmm. We know what Jacksonville has in regards to defensive end, Allen and the bunch, so they were rotating those guys. He wasn't a starter in their defense. He was productive in their defense, but he wasn't a starter. I think he gets an opportunity to be a starter this year. A three-down starter, a guy that's going to make a high impact on this team, and it's already showing by his energy. His energy brings everybody else up on that front seven. Having Harold Landry back, it doesn't seem like Harold Landry has taken any steps backwards. But I still do believe that it's going to take him a minute to get back to close to where he was prior to the injury. But I feel good about Arden Key. I feel good about Aziz Shaire. I feel good about him as well. I think those two components right now are showing that they were worth going out and getting and bringing to this team as far as a free agents, coupled with the guys that are already there. Autry, obviously Simmons. Mm-hmm. We talked with Tierre Tart. He seemed like a guy that, listen, just put me out on the field. Let me do what I do, man. Yeah. If you need me to rush the pass, I rush. You need me to make tackles. You need me to intercept the ball. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Just put me out there.
You need me to play safety, I'll play
exactly.
safety.
Exactly. I'll do whatever you want me to do.
Massive 300-pound frame. I'll play safety.
I'll do anything. So that front seven, I feel good about what they're able to do. I think Shane Bowen this year is going to really even more. He's going to be able to tap in even more to that front seven. He wasn't able to do that last year because of the injury, you know, to Harold Landry and Bud Dupree being so inconsistent. Mm-hmm. Now I believe they have two guys on the edge that are going to be consistent in regards to them being out on the field.
I think we may have the same list because that was another thing, was the defensive line as a whole, but I think we kind of knew the front seven was going to be good. So more specifically, the free agency additions on the defensive line, Aziz Al-Shaer and Arden Key. Mm-hmm. Go all the way back to OTAs. so much of what we heard about Arden Key was all positive, that he was energetic, that he just adds this, like, electricity into the locker room. And we've seen it in training camp. He's just flying around all over the place. We heard it from him when he's at the podium yesterday. He was like, look, I'm from Atlanta. I've never met a quiet person from Atlanta. You really see the energy that he brings. And Azeez Al-Shaair had a wonderful day in camp yesterday. He had a forced fumble on Tajay Spears. He had a great tackle on Treylon Burks. Got called for taunting after. Gotta watch that. But the two of them, I think the energy that they bring on and off the field is going to be huge. And the last thing I liked is the backup quarterback battle. I think that Malik Willis made the necessary strides that he had to make to even be a factor on this team. And Will Levis as well, making some of the plays that were worthy of the first round hype that he did get. Now, it doesn't mean that they're all of a sudden ready to be starting quarterbacks in the NFL. They have their good days. They have their bad days. They both clearly have things that they need to work on. But I like that it's a competition, that they're pushing each other, and that they both look like viable options as a QB2.
That's where I was going to go as well. The quarterback position, the, you know, second quarterback position, quarterback number two, because anything behind the starter is a backup.
Right.
So quarterback number two position, I think both guys are pushing one another, which in turn pushes Ryan Tannehill. So the old adage, you know, Bible verse, iron sharpened iron. I think that's what happened. That is what's happening with Will Levis and Malik Willis. Malik has something to prove. He took it personal, which he should have. He's come back ready to go. It looks like it. It feels like it. Will Levis, I think he has something to prove. He has a chip on his shoulder. He felt he should have won in the first round, didn't go in the first round. So he's coming in with sort of this, I'm going to prove it to y'all that I should have been a first round pick. Well, both of those guys, because of different reasons, they're helping one another. They're making sure that one another get better, because now I can't go in a room or go out to practice and say, you know, today I don't feel too good, so I'm going to take it easy. No, you can't take it easy, because the guy on the side of me that's battling me for that second spot, he's coming out and he's ready to go. So whatever I got going on, I got to put it aside, and I got to go out there and practice with that intensity that it's going to take to continue to push one another. So I do like the second quarterback competition between Will Levis and Malik Willis, because I think as long as they continue to do that, I believe both of them will be on the roster, and it will make this Titans team even better. Not this year. I'm not talking about this year. I'm talking about moving forward, because now they believe we have two viable options if we want to, once we sort of get away from Ryan Tannehill and usher in our next starting quarterback.
And it's so fun, because there was a backup quarterback battle this past training camp, but it was Malik Willis who could barely even complete a pass, and Logan Woodside who didn't look so great either. So that wasn't a fun backup quarterback battle to watch, because it was like, God, like, what's the lesser of two evils? Now you've got two promising young quarterbacks that are coming along well, and it's encouraging to see. Any more positives on your list? Those are my three.
Let me see. I do like the vision that ran in Mike has moving forward. I do like what they have been able to do from a free agency standpoint. I do like that they didn't sort of succumb to the media pressure and try to just go out and, oh, we need to get this. No. They stayed put. They had a vision. And they said, what did they say? Be patient, basically, and trust in us that we will do what we need to do. And what did they do? Go out and sign D-Hop. So that was one of those things. They said, just trust us. We're going to get our guy. They got their guy. So I like, from that standpoint, and that's sort of outside of the plane surface, but what they're doing, you know, from a organizational standpoint, what Rand has been able to do just this whole offseason leading up to camp and in camp, I'm encouraged by that, because it seems like both of those guys are working well together.
We've still got some questions, though.
Yeah, we still got some.
So we'll get into those coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace is brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline Willie D. Mace. Hey, tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 6:35 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Durham Bulls, the AAA affiliate of the Tampa Bay Rays. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Three Winchy Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. So we're officially 1 week into training camp. No practice today. Back out in the practice field tomorrow. We will be back at training camp on Friday. We'll be at Streetcar Tabs and Garden tomorrow for our show from 11 to 2 and then someone accompany from 2 to 6. But we're breaking down what we like and what we got some questions about now that we're a week into training camp. What D-Mace and I both liked, this backup quarterback battle, the defensive line, specifically Azeez Al-Shaair and Arden Key, two free agency pickups for the Titans in the offseason, and then this wide receiver core. Mm-hmm. Treylon Burks, DeAndre Hopkins, and even what we've seen from kind of the lower level, so to speak, wide receivers, the Racy McMaths mm-hmm. and the Kyle Phillips of the world, maybe the more unproven receivers. But it hasn't all been peachy.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some questions. D-Mace, my biggest concern, question, keep me up at night, is the offensive line. It was a bad day for the offensive line. I mean, the defensive line absolutely dominated the Titans' offensive line yesterday. And look, it may just be that the defensive line is just that good. And if so, then great.
Great.
Great. Wonderful. Love to hear that. But offensive line was such an Achilles heel for this Titans team this past year. It's concerning to me now.
And, you know, rightfully so. It should be because of what happened last year, how they performed last year. And you see early on that the defense is dominating the offensive line. I'm not going to panic just yet. I want to see these guys when they, you know, practice against Minnesota, first preseason game, because this group, this group outside of every other group is the group that it takes time for them to gel. And they just don't have the time because of the new collective bargaining that they need to have for these guys to gel. Now, they will eventually, I believe, gel, but it's going to take them longer. So that's why I want to wait and see. It's sort of in the same boat as the second quarterback. I'm just waiting and seeing. But I need to see it a little bit quicker than what I need to see from who's going to be the second quarterback, because they affect what the starting quarterback is able to do or not do, and how effective the passing game is. The running game is going to be the running game. I think they're going to be fine, but it's the passing game if the offensive line is not blocking. So I understand why you're concerned. I'm just going to give it a little bit more time.
And add in the Nicholas Petit-Frere suspension for the first six games, the right tackle question marks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I understand. Right. So I understand why you're concerned, and I don't see anything wrong with that. My concern is the tight end position. Outside of Chigakonko, what do they have?
Kevin Rader.
Again, what do they have?
And draft Josh Wiley.
Yeah, and he's a rookie. He's going to go through the same rookie headaches that Chig went through, mm-hmm. that Treylon went through. So how much can we – I hope he comes out and is a viable, you know, second option to Chigakonko. But
and he's huge. Yeah, he's 6'7", 250.
Exactly, but, you know, history says that he may not be. Mm-hmm. It may take him a little bit to get going. So if that's indeed the case, then – if something happens to Chig, just say for a game or for some play, who do you then insert that can get the job done? Do you then bring in a veteran guy once, you know, come toward the end of camp and preseason, guys are being cut? Because you're going to add, there's going to be at least 2 to 3 new faces on this team that we don't even see right now. So are one of those new faces going to be a veteran pass-catching tight end that can give some rest to Chigakonko because the rookie isn't ready yet, or the other guy that was on their practice squad last year? So that's the position I'm concerned with because of the lack of depth and, honestly, the lack of you know, known production.
That's a very, very fair point, and it's not something that I've thought about, to be honest with you. Because behind Chigga Conquo, you've got Trevon Wesco, you've got Josh Wiley, and Kevin Rader. Those three names aren't necessarily like, oh, yeah, you know, I know
those guys.
Yeah,
I know those guys.
Josh Wiley and the rookie and Trevon Wesco. He's now second on the depth chart that has very limited work.
Yeah, Wesco.
Josh Wiley.
A whole two receptions for 32 yards.
It's more than I have.
Yeah.
But it's a very, very fair concern. Another thing that I'm concerned about is focusing in on the injuries and maybe the repeat offenders. Like yesterday, Christian Fulton had a little bit of a tweak. He kind of pulled up on his hamstring a little bit.
Oh, goodness.
And it's the same thing with Christian Fulton. That's been the thorn in his side over the past couple of years. And we talked to Christian Fulton on Monday, on Monday at practice, and he said, look, I feel better going into the season than I ever have. I've never been fully healthy in a full off season because his rookie year, like we've been talking about with Treylon Burks, he was training for the combine, wasn't in full training camp shape quite yet, and it was injury after injury coming off of the shoulder surgery. And then watching Christian Fulton kind of tweak it again, it's just, it feels like Groundhog Day for him. Harold Landry is another one. And it's not a concern in that I see Harold Landry hobbling around and the knee doesn't look like it's in shape. That's not it at all. It's just we've seen historically sometimes it takes guys longer than the full calendar year to be 100%. Sometimes it takes you a year and a half to get back to a full, you know, 100% speed, 100% strength. So it's not a new concern of mine. It's been a concern of mine. But the repeat offenders coming back like a Christian Fulton or a Harold Landry coming off of the ACL, it's a withstanding concern as we go throughout training camp. And the Christian Fulton tweak is new.
Well, I mean, I've never seen a guy that had, you know, chronic hamstring issues all of a sudden. He's better and he doesn't deal with it anymore. Of the guys that I have either played with or played against, once you start having those nagging hamstring issues, they never go away.
Yeah.
You may feel fine and great before the season, before camp, and then all of a sudden you pull up just a little bit because you feel it just a little bit. Then once you feel it a little bit, you don't want to really just open up because you're always afraid that, oh, my goodness, I'm going to pull it again.
You're thinking about it.
Exactly. So guys that have had bad hamstring issues all of a sudden just don't get better. And that's what I'm worried about. With this is secondary, and I mentioned that to Hutt. Like, this is a position we're not talking about, and I think we're not talking about it because the defensive line is good. We believe they're going to be like that's going to be the strength of their team. We believe so. When you have a really good defensive line, then maybe sometimes your secondary can be okay, but still hold up because they're getting, you know, the defensive line is getting in the quarterback's face. But I am concerned about the secondary. And I'm not talking necessarily about the safeties, because even though I believe if one of those guys go down, it's going to be hard to replace them, you know. And I know they have some guys that came in and did a good job last season. I believe it was Johnson, right? Let me make sure I get the name right. Who came in at the safety position last season? When Amani Hooker was down,
he's
not even on the team anymore, I don't believe. But they were able last year to sort of mask a little bit because Amani Hooker was down, but Kevin Byard was still playing, so they were able to mask it a little bit. But what happens if one of those corners go down? Who are they looking to? If Christian Fulton's dealing with another hamstring,
which is not far out of the realm of possibility.
Exactly. So I'm worried about the cornerback position. I'm worried, just like Hutt said, if any one of those guys go down, what do we have? I mean, Sean Murphy Button, but, you know, is he lockdown corner?
No.
Is he a guy that I don't know, you know?
And you're not expecting to get anything from Caleb Farley.
Exactly.
Like we said earlier.
That position is thin, really.
It is thin.
It's thin. So I'm worried about the secondary, and I'm worried about if, you know, God forbid, Kevin Byard misses some games because he's getting a little bit older, mm-hmm. or Monty, or both of them are not in the lineup. Do they have enough depth behind them, experience behind them, that they can hold up for a few games?
My only silver lining with that is if the defensive line is as good as advertised, as good as they have seen mm-hmm. so far in camp, maybe the defensive backs can sit back and say, okay, thank you. All right, sack the quarterback there. We're good on that one. So that's what gives me a little bit of hope. Mm-hmm. With this defensive line, maybe you don't need those lockdown corners, but given the injury situation that's plagued this team the last couple of years, who do you have that can step up?
Exactly.
Any more concerns that you have or questions that you may have?
Beside the cornerback position, obviously the offensive line, but I said I'm going to wait and see what happened. The kicker, we still got to wait on that. I am concerned about that because
kicker,
you got to be in that 90 percentile, I believe, of making your field goals between that 40 and 40. Because you're not going to get a lot of them. Mm-hmm. So if you get 10 a year, 12 a year, I think they got, 12 last year, somewhere around there. If you can get that many, you need to make at least 90-something percent of those kicks. I know weather comes into it. I get it. But you need to be damn near automatic.
In between Trey Wolf and Caleb Shudak, they've both been fine in camp. They've, you know, made from 50-plus. They've both missed from within 45, I don't need you to be Justin Tucker.
Mm-hmm. I wish you were.
If you were, then that's great. I'll take it. I don't need you to be the best kicker on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. I just need you to be able to go out there and hit from 47 and me not grab the side of my chair mm-hmm. and be so nervous and biting my fingernails because I don't think that you can make it or it's such a 50-50 shot. That's all I ask. Mm-hmm. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We do this every day. Our biggest questions surrounding one AFC and one NFC team, because there's questions not just around the Tennessee Titans, and we'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Billy, D-Mace, 1025-106 for the game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, let's get into it. Our biggest questions for one NFC and one AFC team. We start with the NFC this week. What are you thinking? Maybe the Minnesota Vikings?
Let's do it.
Let's do it because I just watched another episode of Quarterback and I got Kirk Cousins and the Vikings on the brain.
Okay.
He's so easy to love. Like,
or hate. Some people hate him.
I just can't. If you're a Vikings fan, I get that you probably hate him. But he's just like a little nerdy guy. He's so sweet.
He's a Michigan State guy, so you got to love him.
Go green.
Go white. Hey, you got to love him.
Your biggest question surrounding your boy Kirk Cousins.
You know, can he, can he, now that Dalvin Cook's gone, because Dalvin Cook, he was able to take some pressure off of, off of Kirk Cousins. You know, he didn't have to pass the ball all the time, even though they were pass happy at times. Hell, you might as well be. You got Jefferson throwing the ball too. So
F it.
Yeah, just throw it up.
Justin's
let him catch
out there
it.
Somewhere.
Let him catch it. How does this offense, how does Kirk Cousins elevate himself this season without a Dalvin Cook? Can he win this Minnesota Vikings team games in the playoffs? This has been Minnesota's Achilles heels. For the last couple of years, they've had an explosive offense. They had a good defense at times, not really, really good, but they've had a solid defense.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, you know, whether you want to blame it on Kurt or something else, they've always managed to, you know, lose games. They've managed to give games away to their opponent. Is this the year, minus Dalvin Cook, that Kirk Cousins can elevate his game? Because, listen, he may not be the quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings next season or the season after. I think his contract runs for another year or two. I don't know.
Through the 25 season.
Yeah, so they may look to go in another direction if he can't get them over that hump. This division, even though, you know, Chicago seems to be a team that's on the rise with Justin Fields. They've given him some weapons on the outside.
Detroit.
They've stocked up what they did last season. Everybody's picking them to win a division.
They're Super Bowl favorites.
And I like the Lions, too. Then you have Green Bay. They're sort of like the question mark, like the unknown, because now that Aaron Rodgers can love, you know, be that third quarterback to come in here and just lead a team. You know, it seemed like they haven't taken a step backwards, you know, the last two quarterbacks, and they're hoping that's the same with Love. So the question mark, can Love, you know, fill the shoes of an Aaron Rodgers? So there's a lot of sort of question marks within this whole division. Can Minnesota and can Kirk Cousins elevate this team another notch, another level, without Dalvin Cook at running back?
And my question is very similar, staying on the offensive side of the football. And it's and how can this offense look without Dalvin Cook? What does the run game look like? Can Kirk Cousins do it without a certified playmaking running back like Dalvin Cook? But my question is, where does Jordan Addison's role kind of fit into this passing game? Because, you know, we know he was out a majority of this past season with a hamstring injury. But how does he fit in with Justin Jefferson? How is he able to kind of lift some of the weight off of Justin Jefferson? How are they able to use both of those solid wide receivers to help Kirk Cousins along? Because Kirk Cousins is like one of those Ryan Tannehill quarterbacks. Like, he's not going to elevate your team every single day. He's not going to be one of those guys that can single-handedly win a game for you. But Minnesota has put enough passing weapons around Kirk Cousins to be successful. So, one, can Jordan Addison stay healthy? And two, how does he fit in with Justin Jefferson? Is he going to be a Justin Jefferson kind of receiver that day one he steps onto the field and he is a difference maker for this team?
Yeah, and I like Jordan Addison. I liked him when he came out of college this past year. He was.
I'm thinking of Jackson Smith and Jigba. Jordan Addison did play this past season.
Yeah, he played in college. Yeah,
forget
But I liked him coming out of college this year. I think he might have been my top receiver other than Zay Flowers.
You loved Zay Flowers.
I love Zay Flowers. I even loved the kid in Houston. I forgot that kid. I forgot his name. I forgot where he ended up going. But Zay Flowers, he was my...
Kind of a funky name.
Yeah.
Like Tank.
Yeah, Tank. What was his last name? But I liked him because what he and Zay Flowers had is something you can't teach. I thought they had that dog in them, like red. They want to fight every play, like, and I'm not talking about fighting actually, but I'm saying fight for the football, fight competition. They loved it. Jordan Addison, to me, he was smooth. He was one of those guys that just everything he did in college just was like effortless. He just went out there and played. He didn't seem like he had a hiccup in his games or whatsoever. So I think this is a great addition. He will only be helped by Justin Jefferson because, you know, they're going to put 2 to 3 people on Justin Jefferson. So you need that.
If you don't, that's on you.
Exactly. That's your fault. So I think Jordan Addison will get a lot of opportunities this season to show that you know, he's a damn good number two. So that is a question mark. Can he take some of the pressure off of Justin Jefferson? Because everybody's going to be looking at him and trying to guard him. Can he be on the other side, accumulate and build up numbers and become that second threat where teams now have to account for him as well as Jefferson?
Quickly, AFC side of things, your biggest question for the Bengals?
Joe Burrow.
Can he stay healthy?
He already went down.
It's a scary scene in practice. You know, it was just a calf muscle tear. Mm-hmm. He's only going to be out for a couple of weeks. When I saw it, I thought, that guy just tore his Achilles.
Yeah, I thought it was an Achilles. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Just a calf.
Yeah.
So not nearly as severe. Won't be out nearly as long. But it's Burrow. It's the O-line. How does Orlando Brown fit into this offensive line? They acquired him in this past offseason. But it's Joe Burrow. And can he get them past the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yeah. That's ultimately, you know, I'm sure that's the question. You know, in Cincinnati, not necessarily their team, like, but their fan base. Can we do enough? Is this the year we get past Kansas City or even Kansas City, Buffalo, say, you know, or any other AFC? Because it seemed like they're all stacked just about. especially in the East. But is this the year? Do we have enough to get past Cincinnati?
I think with Cincinnati, it starts in.
I mean, get past Kansas City, excuse me. Cincinnati, get past Kansas City.
With Cincinnati, as far as they're concerned, it starts and ends with Joe Burrow, mm-hmm. and everything in between is Joe Burrow. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We've got a new teammate.
Ah.
And we'll explain coming up next. Caroline Willie D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline Willie D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game in the Game Nashville app. So as of today, we at 1025 and 1063 The Game have a brand new team member.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations to Robbie Stanley and his wife, Heather. Uh-huh. They welcomed Allison Ree Stanley into the world today. So congratulations.
Congrats. That is always, that's always great when you can bring another life into this world and, you know, you, it's just, it enhances things for you as a parent, you know, so I'm happy for both of them. You know, I remember those days. You hadn't reached those days yet.
No, hopefully it's not. Yeah, anytime soon.
But those days, you know, those are good times because, you know, your world, it opens, like it expands, mm-hmm. and no longer is it about just you and your significant other. Now it's about that new addition, and y'all come second. It's
right.
about that new addition first. And then mom and dad, you know, they sort of play second fiddle to the new addition. But congrats to Robbie and Heather, you know. And I know she's going to keep you up.
Yeah. So good luck, Robbie and Heather.
Yes.
But D-Maze, I'm not a parent, but you are. So I have to think the one thing that parents love more than anything mm-hmm. is completely unsolicited parenting advice.
Oh man, and this is their first.
I'm totally
this
kidding.
Is their first one, right?
This is their first. Yeah, their
yes.
first baby girl.
What I can say is this.
Yeah, your best advice to Robbie. You're a girl dad. Robbie's now a girl
yeah,
dad. Your
I'm
best
girl
advice
dad. I'm
to
a
Robbie.
Boy dad, girl dad. I got them both. So, but my advice for them would be help one another mm-hmm. through this early process. Don't just leave it all up to mom to get up at night and. Do this and do that. Be a part of that whole process because it goes by fast, you know. And I missed a lot of it because I'm in camp. But because, well, I missed a lot of my son's because he was born in July. And then like a week or two later, we went to camp.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we stayed there. Or when I came home,
oh,
it was late
hard.
And they were asleep. But I still, like when he got up, I still was up and I. You know, I did my part or whatnot. My daughter, I had more time with her because she was born in April. Mm-hmm. End of March. So I had time to do those duties of changing diapers while mom sleep and feeding and taking her with me. My daughter went everywhere with me. Like, I would go to the store, throw in a car seat, we would go. So just be a part of that. Help one another in that situation. Like, don't just leave it up to one parent. And a lot of times it's left up to the mom to get up in the morning and get up late at night. But no, because even though it may seem like you get up and you're like, oh, man, what time is it? 3 o'clock and I got to get up at 5? Oh, my goodness. But those are times that you just don't get back.
Right.
Like you get to sit there with your child with no other distractions, just you and your child. So my advice to Robbie and Heather is do it together.
Uh-huh.
Enjoy it together. Some days will be harder than others, believe me. But enjoy that time, that early time with them because it's so precious and you don't get it back.
And I am no parent, nor do I have any, you know, right to give parenting advice. Mm-hmm. D-Mace, you are a girl dad, so you mm-hmm. have every right. But I am a girl with a dad.
Uh-huh.
I can say from a daughter's perspective, Robbie, let her wear whatever she wants. let her dress herself. I remember so vividly one day at my elementary school. I think I was in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. We had, you know, donuts with dad.
Uh-huh.
So you went, got to school early, you had donuts, you sit down, your dad comes with you to school, and it was like the coolest day ever. And I wanted so badly to wear my tutu to school. And mom was like, no, we're not doing that. I'm crying. I want to wear my tutu. My dad was like, let her wear the tutu. Mm-hmm. So from then on, it was me and dad pretty much in lockstep. I was like, forget about mom. She doesn't let me wear my tutu to school. So just let her wear whatever she wants. So she's going to come out of the house looking like a crazy person sometimes. She's going to come out of the house in her fairy costume sometimes. Let her wear whatever she wants. Just,
Can't get it back. Let them do it. My daughter has some shoes, these sort of plastic shoes that she had, high heels. They wasn't high heels, but they had sort of like a
little costume.
Yeah, a little costume heel in the back. And she would love wearing those things around the house all day, every day. And you just let her wear them. Like, go ahead, do what you do. But eventually we had to take them away because you start growing out of them.
Oh, poor thing. She'd probably still wear them if she could. A second girl with a dad, daughter advice, bring her to any and every single football game, baseball game, soccer game, whatever you can, because that's what my dad always did for me, and here I am. So bring her to everything. Explain everything to her. Get her the nachos. Get her the Dippin' Dots, because that was kind of the bribing period for me. I didn't want to go to Rams games. Those were boring, but I always got Dippin' Dots, and then I started to actually like the sport. So bring her to games. Let her get the dessert. Let her get the nachos.
Take her everywhere you want to. Take her,
Take her everywhere.
Everywhere she, like, if you're going to the store and she wants to go to the store,
bring her.
Take her to the store. If you're going to the mall or something, she wants to go, take her. Bailey was my road dog. She was the only person that when we would take trips back to Michigan, she would stay up with me the whole time. Everybody else would be asleep. She'd be in her car seat right in the middle, wide awake, just watching the road. I don't know what she was watching, but she was watching the road. I don't know if she was trying to make sure I didn't go to sleep. But she was up with me the whole 8 or 9 hours it took us to get to Michigan. So
good luck, Robbie and Heather. Congratulations, Robbie and Heather. Beautiful, healthy baby girl, Allison. So, Robbie, enjoy time with your family. Enjoy time with your new baby girls. Looking forward to getting to meet her, our newest addition to the team. But let's finish up with some of your thoughts. Our phone lines are driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. One texter texts in, ask D-Mace, have you ever considered being an offensive coordinator? Because you should be.
It takes a, you know, I think I'm too far along. Well, I'm not going to say that. Let's just say this. The passion to coach adults, I don't know if it's there or better yet, the patience to coach adults in this game. You got it because you got to deal with a lot of stuff, and it's not just – the X's and O's. You got to deal with the egos and all this other stuff. So had I started, you know, 15 years ago, right after I retired, then yeah. But now I don't think I can do it.
Would you coach kids?
Yeah, I coach kids. I coach kids, teenagers, young adults.
College?
College. I would if the right, you know, situation came along. If somebody truly, really wanted me to be their, say, receivers coach, I would, you know, but I would lean on guys that are already coaching now and get advice and you know, because playing a position and coaching a position is two different things. Coaching while you're playing, like, it's different from coaching, like, being the actual coach.
Yeah.
Because you got to worry about everybody, not just that one guy that may ask you something or this guy that may ask you something. No, we got to deal with the whole room and make sure everybody knows what to do. So I would coach if the right situation came along, college, high school. But other than that.
Coach D-Mace.
I'm too old right now.
That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stillman & Company's up next.
Be love. Love on your people. Peace.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save